Welcome back to this short course on planting a church, how to go about that in a way that will hopefully better improve the chances for success. Today, we're in session two, which is ways to plant a church, part A. Now, there are so many ways to plant a new church. Now, I'm going to share a variety of ways with which I am familiar through a lot of study and a lot of learning about it and participating in some church plants. And so let's get to it. What are the ways to plant a church? Well, one way, probably the simplest way, maybe the cheapest way, is for a Bible study to grow into a church. Now, what happens in this way of planting a church is that a group of people begin to think, they begin to pray, they begin to, they're working together, and maybe in that process they gain a burden for a particular community or their community. And as they invite others into the Bible study, maybe somewhere the germ of an idea comes that, wow, what if we started a new church? And what if, maybe the churches that we're part of would be part of sending us off? Now, in these type of situations, often there's someone within that Bible study who has taken the role of leader in that Bible study. And so that person would become kind of charged to be the lead person in that process. And so the Bible study begins to move toward starting a new church. Now, a couple of words about this. Big churches have started this way. I pulled this off the website from Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto, California. This is a church that I learned a great deal from. Its pastor for many, many years was Ray Steadman. He's now in heaven. But Ray was somebody whose sermons I found on the internet at one point and just began to draw them in and bought his books because the way he studied the Bible was a way that was helpful to me. Well, then later I learned the amazing truth that this church started simply from a group of people who were in Bible study together and then getting a vision for starting a new church. And they called Ray eventually as they got big enough that they thought they could afford a pastor. They called Ray to be part of that, and the church grew and became itself part of planting new churches. Now, for a Bible study to become a church takes something. It takes a change in purpose. And you'll notice that I put there, the change in purpose is to go from a Bible study to a church plant. Now, the picture I have up there is the last church I served. That was Covenant Life Church in downtown Grand Haven, Michigan. And you'll notice, just the ghclc.org. Indoor worship. This is a picture of one of the praise teams as they're leading people in worship. But to tell you about that church began in this way. It was a Bible study. It was a group of people, and they came primarily from two different churches. And in the one church, they didn't feel there was the people who were part of the one church didn't feel like there was enough evidence or emphasis on what we call covenant theology. And the other one thought, there's not enough openness here that people who weren't who were away from Christ or people who had fallen away from the church entirely wouldn't go to their two churches that they were part of. And so somebody started the conversation, what if we started our own church? And so these couples, young couples with kids, decided to take off and take the risk. And so they studied the Bible together, they talked with others, they consulted with other leaders about how do you go about this, and then the day came when they rented a room at the local YMCA, and they began with public worship, and began inviting, and I'll tell you more of those stories later. But eventually it became a church, and during my time there it became a church of about 1,000 people, and was looking at, daughtering other churches. Now, that's somewhat of what it takes to do a Bible study to a church. That change in focus, that deep commitment, and later we'll talk about a launch team and what you've got to look for in launch team members. But this is maybe one of the most effective ways to start a new church. is to go from Bible study where people know each other well, they're committed, but they're committed to a big vision, a big picture of what could be. A second way of planting a new church is what we call a parachute plant. And that is, you know, there's a church leader who is parachuted into a new community with the mission to start a new church. And often, you know, this happens because the denomination is considered about considering church planting, or a mother church is considering church planting in a growing community nearby, and they'll say, to a church leader, we want you to be our church planter. You go there and you plant a church. Now, it's interesting. You know, one of the most prominent churches in our country and in the world was begun this way. This is Saddleback Community Church. And pastor is Rick Warren, and you probably know of him if you read books or study church growth at all. This is the main campus. They have several campuses right now, but it all started with Rick and Kay Warren as a young couple being sent into that community with a mission to start a new church. And so they didn't live in that community initially. They were parachuted in that sense. You know, okay, you go. They had no support team. They had no group of people that that they met with initially. They had to start door to door, just going door to door, leading people to faith, discipling them, training them to become leaders in that church, and eventually that became the church that it is today, an incredibly vibrant and exciting church. But it started with a parachute plant. One that I'm more familiar with is one of the daughter churches of my church in California, and that's in Moreno Valley. I pulled this picture out just because of the new houses there. Now, when I was in Southern California, I became part of the team that was deciding where we were going to plant those 50 churches. And I had a friend who had an airplane, and so he would take me up and just fly me over communities, because at that time in Southern California, there were these communities like Moreno Valley where seas of homes would go up. I mean, they would go through, builders would go through an area, and they would just lay, first of all, cement slabs, or no basements in these homes, and then they, you know, a crew of carpenters would go through and build walls, and roofers would come through, finishers on the inside, and in a matter of 3 months, you could have, you know, 300 or 400 homes. And so we were looking at that and said, you know what, this would be a great place to start a church. How can we get somebody there? And so my church that I served as the mother church, called a man named Al Breams, and we parachuted him in there. Of course, he spent 9 months with us in our church learning about Southern California, because he was from the Midwest, and we wanted him to get acclimated, and getting a group of people to help him launch that church, a small group of people to help him launch that church. But then we put him into Moreno Valley, and that became an exciting, exciting church ministry. It became Oasis Community Church, and Al became a part of the group of people that were instrumental in helping us plant more churches, because he began a training. We didn't have enough ordained people, people who were qualified within our denominational system to plant new churches. And so Al became the director of what we called our Evangelist Training Program, ETP, which was equipped people to go out and plant new churches themselves. So he was key to that, but it all started with being parachuted into that area. Another fascinating way of planting new churches is what I'm going to call to an area. One of the churches that I was part of, the mothering process here in West Michigan, started, it's a long story, but it gives you an idea how God goes about calling people to start churches. I did a funeral. It was a woman who was in her 50s and was at her father's funeral wake and dropped over with a brain bleed and ended up dying. And so it was a powerful funeral. I mean, the tragedy of somebody at their father's funeral dying, and she had just gone through a painful divorce. And so come to the funeral, and the place was packed with people. This was a big event in the community. And I got to be part of that funeral that day. And I had laryngitis, and I thought I was feeling miserable, but this was big. This woman was a delightful woman. And so that day I spoke. And it was one of those times where, you know, what I said seemed to release some Holy Spirit moments in the lives of people. A couple of weeks after that, a guy comes walking up to our church in Grand Haven. It turns out he's a nephew of that woman who died. And he said, you know, I was there. And he said, I just want to tell you the dream God has given me. And he talked about being in an area of Muskegon. He was a salesman. He traveled around for sales. And ended up in an area called Lakeside and had customers in Lakeside, Muskegon, Michigan. And as he was in that area, he kept feeling that pull of starting something in that area. Now, he himself was not, you know, a pastor at that point. He was somebody who had served for a while as a youth director. He'd gotten some education. But we began talking about that and praying about that. I visited the area with him, and he decided that that's what he's going to do. He checked it out. He had a group of men that with whom he gathered regularly to hold each other accountable in their spiritual lives, and he shared his dream with that group. And then that group talked about it and said they'd financially support it. And one guy in that group said, you know what, I'll help you with that. Now later I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how they went about starting that church. But it started with that call to an area, you know, a call to a specific community. Now as you're thinking about planting a church, or maybe you are exploring the idea of being part of a church launch, is there a sense of God directing you to a community? Now that church started small. It started in a weird way. It started in a bar, actually. But it was impactful in the sense that, you know, in my church, we maybe had 15 people a year who would come to faith in Jesus Christ to be baptized. That church had 40 in its second year of existence. And you just think, wow. And it's all because these two men were following the call of God, an impulse from the Spirit, I believe, to go to that area and start a new church. So that begins the idea of, you know, three different ways. We're going to look at this more in next session. Some other ways that you can be part of if you're going to plant a church. And so I will see you next time as we continue this exploration. Oh, there is the church that came out of that in that community. This is a group of workers who were going to work somewhere else. The name of the church, if you zoom in, is The Table. And they were inviting people to the table of Jesus Christ. So, just an idea of God can use a variety of ways, and we'll explore more of those ways next time. See you then.